Deaf and Blind Apprentices, Luke 9, verses 37 to 62. The next day, like Moses coming down from Mount Sinai to find the people having walked away from the Creator, they came down from their time of prayer on the mountain to find the rest of Jesus' apprentices having gone astray with a large crowd. A man from the crowd cried out to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to help my child. He is my only one. Look, he is controlled by the spiritual forces of the culture, and out of nowhere they will bind him and make him completely powerless to live his life for the Creator. I begged your apprentices to rescue him, but they were not powerful enough." Answering, Jesus said, "O faithless in culture and society, how much more faithlessness will I put up with? How much longer will I be patient with you, allowing you to endure? Bring the child to me." While the child was brought to Jesus, the culture's power within the boy fiercely resisted and fought against it. But Jesus overpowered it with his word and liberated the child from its grip, giving him back to his dad. Everyone who saw this was amazed at the power and greatness of the Creator. But while everyone was marveling at all he was doing, Jesus said to his apprentices, "You, put these words into your ears. Just as the prophet Daniel foretold, the human one and his community are about to be given over into the hands of human authorities." But Jesus' apprentices were not understanding what he meant. The truth of his words was hidden from them behind the teachings and ways of civilization. But because they were fearful of having their ignorance exposed, they did not ask Jesus to clarify what he meant. Faced with their own failure to save the boy, and then the success of Jesus, the apprentices got competitive and began wondering which among them was the greatest in power. But Jesus, discerning their hearts, took a lowly child, stood her in the middle of them, and said to them, "Whoever embraces this lowly child in obedience to my teachings is embracing me. And whoever embraces me is embracing our Heavenly Father who sent me. Therefore, let this sink in. The one among you who possesses the least in regard to wealth, power, and ego is the greatest." Civilization's whole idea of greatness is backward and upside down. Hearing this, John Zebedee confessed, "Teacher, we saw someone obeying your teachings and liberating people from the afflictions of the culture, and we stopped him because he was not part of our inner circle." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop someone like him. Do not try to keep a monopoly on the Creator's power for yourself. The Creator's work is so much bigger and wider than you ever dreamed. Therefore, whoever is not opposing your obedience to my teachings is also on your side." Seeing the climax of his life and ministry ahead of him, Jesus became confident that his end goal was in Jerusalem, where he would walk into that great center of power and confront the authorities once and for all. In preparation for this great confrontation, Jesus continued spreading his message in the hopes of accumulating a large enough following to allow him to survive his initial entrance into Jerusalem. So Jesus sent messengers to prepare the way for his arrival in the villages of Samaria, the central region of Israel. But the Samaritans would not welcome Jesus because they knew he was planning on going to Jerusalem. They could not stand the fact that he would choose Jerusalem, Mount Zion and its temple, over the city of Samaria and Mount Gerizim. Learning of this blatant rejection of their teacher, Jacob and John Zebedee said to Jesus, "Lord, do you want us, like the prophet Elijah, to call fire down from heaven in order to destroy the Samaritans?" But turning to face them, Jesus sternly rebuked them for not listening to his call to love their enemies and for not following his example over Elijah's. Then they moved on to another village. As they were journeying, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, while powerful rulers and Roman authorities have fancy palaces. But the human one and his community are homeless and have nowhere stable to call home because civilization disowns and rejects them." Jesus then said to someone else, "Follow me." But the man replied, Lord, first allow me to go back home and finish serving my dad until he passes away. I am part of his household, and even the law of Moses says I have to obey him. But Jesus said to him, leave those who are dead in their pursuits of civilization to worry about those kind of things. But you, listen to the call of the Creator and leave everything behind to reveal the Creator's rule that is arriving upon the earth and making all family loyalties irrelevant. Then someone else said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord. But first, allow me to go back home and say goodbye to my family and let them know where I'm going. But Jesus said, you cannot walk a straight line while looking behind you. Therefore, if you are concerned with the past or with the old life you are leaving behind, then you will not be able to truly live your life under the Creator's rule.